Thank you for joining us at Living Word NRA's podcast. We are a church who worships God and advances His kingdom. For more messages and content, be sure to follow us and subscribe to our channel for you to stay connected.
I believe God has given us this message to remind us that the greatest blessing He has given us is Himself. So today's message I titled, Emmanuel, God with us. According to John MacArthur, if we could condense all the truths of Christmas in only three words, this would be the words, God with us. We tend to focus our attention at Christmas on the infancy of Christ, but the greater truth of the holiday is His deity. More astonishing than a baby in a manger is the truth that this promised baby is the omnipotent creator of the heavens and the earth. You know, as Christians, we strive to have a Christ-centered Christmas celebration in response to the world secularization of this occasion. So we want to highlight the baby Jesus in the manger. But then we tend to ignore the wonder of wonders, that baby is God Himself. That the Creator became created. The Almighty became an epitome of meekness. The eternal light became the light of the world, piercing through darkness of men, bringing hope of the eternal life to the hearts of men. Emmanuel, God with us, is the heart of our Christmas hope. This is the truth that really put wonder and hope of Christmas into our hearts and into our lives. So let us all stand up, open your Bibles or your Bible app. Let us all read Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, O God, for what you have done to our lives and to our church. Thank you, O God, for allowing us to be here today. We ask, O God, your Holy Spirit, Lord, to fill us in this place and speak to us individually and as a church, O Lord God. You be glorified, O Lord God. We ask, O God, that you will cover me as well, O Lord God, with the precious blood. Lord, whatever words come out, O God, you will be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please take your seat. Emmanuel, God with us, is the heart of our Christmas hope. Someone has said that if he could convince a man that there is no hope, he would curse the day that he was born. You see, hope for all human beings is the indispensable quality of life. Nobody wants to continue living without hope. Years ago, an S-4 submarine was rammed by another ship and quickly it sank to the bottom of the ocean. The entire crew were trapped within the vessel. Various ships were at the ocean at the time, rushed to the scene of the disaster, but no one really knew what the crew went through on those few hours underneath the water. Men bravely clung on to the oxygen that they could get until slowly gave out. One diver came to the rescue, placed his ear to the side of the vessel, and listened. There were various tapping noises that were heard. Someone was tapping in Morse code. The question that was brought to that man, the diver, who put his ear to the side of that vessel, was this: is there any hope? Is there any hope? That is the cry of all humanity. Is there any hope? Throughout the various circumstances and in various situations, that cry can be heard. Is there any hope? It is the same cry that echoed in our worried hearts upon the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. Is there any hope? Is there any cure for COVID-19? Will there be a vaccine? I remember struggling on these questions when I prayed during my schedule in the COVID-19 prayer chain. I wanted the pandemic to be over as soon as possible. Yet, I understood that the Lord is using this pandemic for His greater purposes. And as I struggled, I found comfort and peace in the promise of our sovereign God that He is with me, whatever the circumstance. And that gave me hope to keep on. Indeed, the presence of God with us is our hope. God with us is Emmanuel. Emmanuel is a Hebrew word, no, composed of two words. Emmanuel, which means with us, and El is for God. God with us, Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel is only mentioned in just two books in the Bible, in Isaiah and in Matthew, the verse we just read. Both verses are very similar because Matthew actually just quoting Isaiah 7:14. No, we read here, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." So today we'll look into these two verses and try to understand what Emmanuel meant. No? First, to the people in Isaiah's time, then to the people in Matthew's time, and lastly, what Emmanuel means for us today. We'll try to understand the significance of Isaiah's Emmanuel, Matthew's Emmanuel, and anchor our hope in our Emmanuel today. So let us start with Isaiah's Emmanuel. Let us first look briefly into the background of Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah chapter 7 was written during the reign of King Ahaz. It's one of the few evil kings in Judah, in the southern kingdom. He was notorious for filling Jerusalem with idols and sacrificing his own children to false gods. And during that time, Syria and Israel, the northern kingdom, joined forces and attacked Judah to dethrone King Ahaz and put the son of Tabeel on the throne. So this scared King Ahaz. No? He planned to ask help from the Assyrian Empire, which is the superpower at the time. But God sent Isaiah to counsel King Ahaz to trust God rather than Assyria. Isaiah prophesied that Syria and Israel's attack will not succeed, and both nations will soon be destroyed, and eventually also Assyria. Isaiah even challenged him to ask God for a sign to confirm that this prophecy was true. But the king refused to test the Lord, choosing to trust in Assyria rather than on God. King Ahaz rejected God. However, let us read how God responded on his rejection. Isaiah chapter 7, 13-14. And he said, referring to Isaiah, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Even though King Ahaz disobeyed and refused to ask for a sign, still God gave him a sign. God gave his people the promise of his presence and deliverance from their enemies through the birth of a son named Emmanuel. So there was a newly married or virgin woman in Isaiah's time who bore a son and incidentally named him Emmanuel. It wasn't the Lord Jesus, but it was a child who was God's sign, telling his people that the God of all grace will remain with them and deliver them even though their king betrayed them. Isaiah's Emmanuel was a sign to the Jews that that God's presence remained with them despite their unfaithfulness, giving them a divine hope in the grace of God. But Isaiah's Emmanuel was just a foreshadow of the ultimate Emmanuel, who eventually came 700 years later on that first Christmas during the time of Matthew. Now let's look into what Emmanuel means to the Jews in the time of Matthew. As Matthew opened his gospel, the Jews were unwilling subjects of the Roman Empire. They were allowed freedom of worship, but had limited authority in overseeing their own affairs. So they longed for more. They waited expectantly for the promised Messiah, for the day that Israel will once again be a powerful nation as it was under King David. An artist once drew a picture in a winter twilight. The trees within the picture were heavily laden with snow. Puno kag snow. There was a dreary, dark house in the background that looked lonely and desolate. Right there in the midst of the storm, all that could be seen was a dark, black house shadowed with the silhouette of the trees. It was a sad picture, but then, with a quick stroke, just one quick stroke with a yellow crayon, the artist simply put in a streak of light coming from the window. The effect, it was transforming. It was magical because the entire scene was translated into a vision of comfort, a vision of cheer, a vision of hope. That was what the name Emmanuel meant to Matthew and God's people. The name was like a streak of light into their darkness. Another child, the second Emmanuel that would be born, Jesus Christ, would be the light of the world, a new ray of hope. This is the only time Emmanuel is mentioned in the New Testament. And God put it there to show that just as the first Emmanuel in Isaiah chapter 7 was to signify the hope and deliverance of Israel, so too to the birth of the second Emmanuel. But unlike Isaiah's Emmanuel, Matthew's Emmanuel was so much more. He was not just a sign, but Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us, himself. Jesus was the incarnate God. God in flesh and blood was their long-awaited Savior, their Messiah. Their hope was fulfilled. He did not just signify deliverance. He was the deliverer himself, who has come into the world to save his people from their sins. That was why the angel told Joseph to name his son Jesus in Matthew 1:21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, Emmanuel, came to deliver his people from their sins. God became man for this purpose, to bring salvation to his people. But at that time, the Jews expected their Messiah to be a great military leader like King David, who would expel the Romans and set up a new Jewish state of Israel. So to many Jews, Jesus of Nazareth could not be the Messiah because he didn't fulfill their expectations. And so, sadly, even until today, they are still waiting for their Messiah. Just like King Ahaz, God's people again rejected Emmanuel. They rejected Jesus as their Messiah. They chose to hold on to their traditions and crucified their Messiah. Yet, God still poured out His grace and love to the few who did accept Jesus. And God used them mightily to bring the gospel of His salvation to the rest of humanity, that more people will know the hope of Emmanuel. Once again, God did not allow the unfaithfulness of man to deter him from his plans to save man once and for all. Isaiah's Emmanuel was a child, signifying God's faithfulness to his people and deliverance from their enemies. Matthew's Emmanuel was Jesus, God himself in flesh and blood, who came to deliver his people from their sins. What about us? What is the significance of Emmanuel to us right now? You know, we are by nature flesh and blood. God is not. But he became flesh and blood. He added himself our nature. This is the wonder of our Emmanuel, that the Creator was hungry, thirsty, tired, slept, and wounded. The Holy God felt glad, sad, tearful, angry, grieved, troubled, disappointed. The omniscient God learned, read the scripture, and was overcome by the prospect of future events. The sovereign God exercised faith and prayed to the point of sweating blood. Clothed in our nature, Jesus became the perfect sacrifice to represent all men. We read this in Hebrews 2:14-15. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying he could break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. As fully man, he died in the flesh, representing all men, paying the price of all sin once and for all. And as fully God, he destroyed the power of death and the devil over man, fulfilling man's hope for reconciliation with God. But there's more. Emmanuel did not just die for us, but he also became our high priest. Hebrews 2:17 says, therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. You know, a priest is someone who intercedes for us, someone who goes to God before us. But how can he go to God for us and ask God to help us if he doesn't understand us? So Jesus became one of us in order that he might rightly represent us as our faithful high priest before God. And he is also merciful because he understands our weakness. In Hebrews 4:15 says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. He knew testings, he knew suffering, and he even knew temptation, though he never sinned. He still knew everything about being human. Emmanuel, the child born that day, was God with us. To feel what we feel, to experience what we experience, to be tempted and tested as we are tempted and tested, in order that he might sympathize with us on one hand and help us on the other hand. That's what it says in Hebrews 2:18. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing. He is able to help us when we are being tested. No? And what does it mean for God to come to our help during trials? And this is what He does. He gives you the courage to face your cares. He gives you the wisdom to understand your cares. He gives you the strength to endure your cares. And He gives you the faith to trust for the rest. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Not only to understand us, but to help us in our struggles. We know that Jesus, our Emmanuel, in the flesh is no longer with us now. Because after accomplishing the work of salvation here on earth, He ascended back to heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father, where He continues to intercede and help us. But before leaving, He gave this great promise of His continued presence to all His disciples, including us today. Matthew 28:20 says, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He left us physically, but did not leave us on our own. He promised to still be our Emmanuel, saying, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And He fulfills this promise by giving His Holy Spirit as a seal to everyone who believes the gospel of Jesus. Ephesians 1:13. "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believe in Him, were sealed with the promise, Holy Spirit." So everyone who truly believes in Jesus Christ receives His Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in us is God with us, Emmanuel. And so even up to today, until the end of the age, by the mercies of God, you and I still have the promise of Emmanuel, God with us, through God, the Holy Spirit in us. It's the Holy Spirit who opens our eyes to understand Scripture. He brings conviction of sin and gives us the desire to follow Jesus. The Spirit heals and comforts, directs and leads, encourages and gives strength. He resides within us, changing us into the image of Christ. This has been God's plan. This has always been God's plan. Not just to restore our relationship, then leave us on our own. But now, through our relationship with Jesus, God is changing us to be like Him. And the Holy Spirit is the agent of that change. He is Christ with you to form Christ in you. The Holy Spirit is Christ with you to form Christ in you. So while Isaiah's Emmanuel was a child, signifying God's presence with His people despite their faithfulness, and Matthew's Emmanuel was Jesus, God in flesh and blood, who came to deliver all men from their sins. And our Emmanuel now is God, the Holy Spirit, in us to transform us into the image of Christ. So how should we respond to Emmanuel? The first time God gave Emmanuel in Isaiah's time, King Ahaz rejected Him, trusting instead in the temporary help of a lesser king. The second time, God gave Jesus as the ultimate Emmanuel in Matthew's time. The Jews rejected Him, unwilling to let go of the wrong expectation of the Messiah. Yet both times, God remained with his people and fulfilled his promise to be with them, Emmanuel. There may be some of us here who have followed their path of rejection. May this be the day the Lord will open your mind and heart to receive Emmanuel. May you desire to have God with you and in you. But I believe most of us here are believers of Jesus Christ. By God's gift of faith, you have received Emmanuel, and Jesus' Holy Spirit is living in you. So now my question for you is this. Are you still in awe of Emmanuel? Are you still trusting in Emmanuel? Are you still living for Emmanuel? Emmanuel has come, and our lives are forever changed. This is where we find hope. This is where we surrender our desires to figure out everything about our lives. This is where we lay it all at the feet of Jesus and rest, knowing He is with us. As we end this year, 2020, I invite you to look back and see Emmanuel. January, the Taal volcano erupted and displaced many in Luzon. But God is with us. February, we have no clue that a global pandemic was about to come upon us. But God is with us. In March, we all began to shelter in and do life at home, working from home, online schooling, but God is with us. Then some became ill and even lost loved ones to the brutal virus, but God is with us. Some lost jobs, closed businesses, and suffered financially due to lockdown, but God is with us. In April, my company implemented salary cut for 3 months. But God is with us. Then in August, possible retrenchment was announced. But God is with us. Mental health was compromised from all humankind. But God is with us. Families are overwhelmed as they work and teach their children virtually. But God is with us. Those caring for those special needs or caring for their elderly loved ones are exhausted. But God is with us. Back-to-back typhoons causing floods and landslides. But God is with us. Church looks different than it ever has before. But God is with us. Despite this year has looked like, there's no question that God is with us. There's no question that we can look forward with hope in 2021. For God will still be with us. Emmanuel is our hope. Amen? John Wesley, upon his deathbed, he opened his eyes for the very last time and exclaimed these words, "The best is all is this, God is with us." He could have said various things, but he said that the best of all is this, God is with us. God is best. And He promised His presence to be with us even the worst moments of life. God's presence is not the guarantee that worse will not come, but that God's best for you, namely Himself, will never leave you no matter what. That is our Christmas hope. Emmanuel, God with us. We don't know what the days ahead hold of us, but we know who has gone before us and who is beside us. So let us take time each day to fix our eyes on Emmanuel. Let us pause to reflect the magnitude of His arrival and His presence means for us. May your hearts be encouraged and may your precious Jesus wrap you in His dearness as we close the Christmas season and move forward for our new year. A hope-filled new year to all of you. Thank you.